We got one more comment, and that is it. We are done with the alert piece to it. But good morning, everyone. Of course, it is Wellness Wednesday. Some people call it Hump Day. And we are pumped, not because it's the middle of the week. We enjoy every single day and live it live, live it well. But good morning. This is Carol Sue, AKA Nawny Boss, live with two
sisters. Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Janice, AKA Wellness Diva 5.0. I might have to upgrade myself to a 6.0 pretty soon, but I'm liking that 5.0. In any event, I have a question before we introduce our amazing guests.
Go for it.
Many of us have started and stopped with physical exercise or wellness in general. How would you like to start and sustain your physical exercise and all the other things that go with it? We are so excited to welcome to the Two Sisters podcast family, Angela Gentile. She is owner, hype woman, and founder of Sweat Remix Wellness Brand. Welcome, Angela. We can't wait to start the conversation.
Hi, thank you. What up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. My name's Angela Gentile, AKA Badass Unicorn. What up?
That's I love it. Love it.
Love the energy. Angela, so you have this varied background, and I want to start there first because I think it's so important. Mm-hmm. You have all these degrees, and yet you decided to leave what you were doing and start Sweat Remix. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm pretty decorated in the education field. I was a high school teacher for over 10 years. And I think with everything I've done, it probably totaled about 15. I've taught everything from like Head Start all the way up to like AP English and like SAT prep. So yeah, I was in that field for a long time. And I have a principal's license. I have a degree in English. I have a master's degree in educational leadership. And I hated it. Like the long and short was, I don't think that was ever the right path for me, but you know, I'm a millennial, I'm an elder millennial. So, you know, I grew up in that like weird cuspy part between like not having technology and being like a feral child to having access to stuff later in life in terms of just information at my fingertips. But I grew up and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, what do you do with all of this? You know, what do you do with this big personality? And I became a teacher because I think that was just like what I was funneled into as a woman. It was like, you're so good with people, so therefore you must like care for them in some way. So it was like nurse, and I'm like all set, squeamish with that. So I guess teaching was going to be it. You know what I mean? But I think deep down I kind of wanted to be an attorney. I just, you know, big energy, putting it on the table, but I couldn't really find anybody around me. Can't be what you can't see. So I didn't have like those kinds of examples, you know, and I'm the first in my family to go to college. I'm the only woman in my family to go to college. I'm the only person to have a graduate degree. You know what I'm saying? First person to like live outside of the town that we grew up in. So I'm the trailblazer in that sense. But so I got into this career and I was like, I like parts of it, but I don't like most of it. And yeah, I was doing what I quote should be doing. I was like good girl in myself, like sitting in my like very trained millennial deference to just be a good girl and do what other people's expected of you. Like sacrifice yourself. Your needs don't matter because everyone else like comes first. Like your worth is determined on how much you can give to everybody else. So that was that. And it burnt me out. And I hated it. And I hated it so much. So that was kind of like where my background was. And I didn't have the courage yet. Like I knew there was a rumbling that I had to leave teaching. Cause I was very unhappy and like having my mental health was down, low, non-existent for, I would say, the last 5 years, maybe even seven of my teaching career. So like I was in it miserably. And I didn't know what it was that was going to like get me to move, you know? And then life happened, life showed up, and my father passed away suddenly from an aneurysm in 2015, right before Christmas. And I just remember having this like reckoning moment. It was like a light switch, like on off. I was like, nothing matters. This is it, right? Like it can right. just all, it can just like that. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? What am I doing? Right. That's it. I'm done. And I like, I mean, this didn't happen. Like I knew I was done. I didn't know like what that meant, you know, but quitting my job, kind of shifting my life, that sort of evolved in my grief journey because I was like, my dad's death and his passing wasn't in vain. Like I was like, what was this for? This was a lesson. This was a gift that he gave to me. And it was to get my life back, to take more agency in my life, to be happy, to be full of joy, you know? So that's what the catalyst was to get me to really step forward into what I wanted and turn what I was doing, the teaching, the nurturing, the mentoring into something that was more aligned with the person that I am.
Very impactful, you know, and especially, you know, thinking what's going on now in the school system, I'm sure you're definitely excited that you're not involved with that nonsense anymore.
100%.
Not that teaching is nonsense, we know that, but what is going on in school districts across the United States is horrific. And it's a challenging position because it's one of those jobs that you are, you know, again, you're not maybe in the family role, but you're in that nurturing role. You want children to succeed. So again, that's kind of adding to that pressure of we have to put our own health and wellness on the back burner and not worry about our mental health. We've got to forge forward. So I like that you reevaluated. And a lot of times what we hear with these journeys that everyone has, these amazing journeys, is it's usually a pivotal
something.
Piece, a pivotal moment in your life that's you're like, wow, like how many more years am I on this planet that I want to and I want to add value and I want to impact, and am I actually doing that in such a way that nurtures me at the same time?
Yeah, that was it. That was my moment. And I think a lot of people learn in a different way because this life was telling me along the way, you know, it was like, psst, hey girl, I don't think you want to do this, right? Like there were tiny little smaller explosions in my life that I was just like, nah, that's not that bad. That's not that bad. That's not that bad. And then it was like, all right, like life just rallied up and was like, she's not listening. Like we really gotta shake her life up and wreck her so that she gets the message. And I did. And I sure did. And I think people learn by that, or they learn by like the touch of the feather or like the weight of bricks. So apparently I learned by bricks. That's my jam.
Well, you know, you bring up a very valid point because I, you know, it's similar for people, yet it's different. You know, you just mentioned bricks, and I can certainly relate to that with my son's story, where you start to reevaluate everything. So now you have this epiphany. Mm-hmm. What specifically led you in the wellness industry? Like, what about it was like, oh my gosh, this is what I love to do?
Yeah. It was sort of a natural progression. Because when I was teaching, I was miserable and I was like, well, what can I do to make this better? I was like, well, I'll go to grad school. Anybody listening who's thinking that that's going to help your toxic situation, guess what? It's not. It's just going to put you in a lot more debt.
I'm saying that and stress.
Yeah. But I was like, I'll go to grad school. So I think a couple of weeks of the program, I was like, this isn't, girl, like this ain't it. But I was like, I've paid for it. We're just going to do it. So when it came time to write my thesis, I was like, if I have to grade more papers, like I can't. So I was like, what do I want to do? I'm like, I'm an athlete. I love moving. I'm going to start a wellness program. So that was my thesis, was all about wellness programs for teachers and the impact of, you know, teacher wellness on culture and climate and student learning. Brilliant, quite frankly. And I was doing that for my, you know, research. And then when we were done, I was like, all right, guys, I got to go write this bad boy. See y'all later. And they're like, well, wait a second. We really enjoy what we're doing. This is helping us. And I was like, huh, look at me. On to something. And they started paying me. So then I was running this like underground fitness, illegal fitness operation, like outside, out of my classroom, a couple days a week. And that sort of and I was doing that right before my dad died. So when he passed away, I was like, you know what? I'm going to run with this. I'm going to take this class that I'm doing very small scale with like the 5-10 teachers who were showing up, where we were breathing, being mindful, because I think anyone who's in a situation that feels so toxic and heavy and like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, and that doesn't necessarily have to be teaching, but that's all I knew at the time. You need to allow release. You need to allow like just a moment of what's happening in my body, what's happening in my life. Because without that, we just start stuffing it down. And that's negative energy. That's cortisol spiking. That's just constant state of stress that ultimately can be cancerous, literally, in our body. So I incorporated this mindfulness, this like breathing, what are we releasing? And it was very embodied. The movement was about letting go. It was about I matter and I'm not taking this with me. This isn't mine. And closing out every class with a very like healing, grounding meditation, come back home to yourself. Remember that you're worth something. You're worth so much. And you get to be a whole, full human and fill up your cup before you go and take care of all of these things. So that was sort of the concept that I was running with. And when my dad died, I was like, I'm going to do this full throttle. So I started getting contracted at schools. I didn't have a name for it yet. It wasn't Sweat Remix. It was just like this thing. You know, I didn't know what to do. This is not my wheelhouse. So, I started like getting contracted at other schools, and then it started to become a real conflict of interest. And then I was like, you know what, Ange, if you can survive grief every day and get up and function and succeed, please, there isn't anything you can do. You know, this is, you're fine. You're going to be, you're brave as hell. Get up, quit this job, get out. And I did. So that following September of 2016, I was done, and I had 3 different contracts around Boston with schools. And then that evolved, because I think it was the natural progression, because that was my life for like 15 years. You know, I didn't, all my contacts were there. I didn't know what I didn't know. But after I was in these schools for maybe like 6 months to a year, I was like, it's bigger than this. It's bigger than just the demographic of people. I was like, I bet there's a lot of people out here who are suffering, who are stuck, who feel trapped, who feel overwhelmed, who feel the weight of everything, who are doing what they should, not what lights them up and what they want. Like there has to be a version of me in that place who maybe needs to hear this before someone they love passes away, so that they can get agency and control back in their life and start feeling like they are in the driver's seat and enjoying every moment that they are in their life. You know, so that's sort of how it evolved from teaching into me stepping into something bigger. And then in 2018, I worked with a marketing and branding company and a Sweat Remix, as it is, as the class with the Zen Rage Heal process of breathe, rage it out, heal, and meditate was born.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. And what I love about how you described your journey was you were structured in a way, you were doing what you thought you should be doing.
Yeah.
Yet there was this driving force, but that led you to where you are today. What would you say about your journey? Like when you look back, and by the way, we're very sorry about the passing of your dad.
Thank you.
But that was a very pivotal moment for you. Is it like coming back to you and what your dad would want for you to go on in life? What was the next pivotal thing for you? Because when you started this, when you had that aha moment, did you have any fears? Like, was there any resistance? What were your thoughts when you were like, okay, I'm going to make this big leap now?
Yeah, of course I was terrified. Of course. I mean, I was living in the most expensive city.
Yeah. Big town.
Yeah, but I mean, no joke, my rent, full disclosure here, my rent for a 700 square foot apartment was $3,000.
Yeah. It's insanity.
Okay.
Probably more than
that. Yeah. And you know, when I tell you how, and I'll be, you can look it up, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to tell anything that's secret, but as a teacher in Boston, I have 2 master's degrees. Okay. And over a decade of experience. And I was making over, I think like $101,000 a year, which I know when people are like, you're making 6 figures, but my rent was $3,000. So it is relative. Okay. It is all relative. So I was terrified. I was like, how am I going to do this? But I think like one of the things that I quickly realized was that money comes and money goes. And when you are forced to starve, you will figure out a way to eat. And I knew that I was talented. And like I said, I got up every day and I took a shower when I was wrecked, and heartbroken. Whew, I was going to cry. I lost half of my DNA. I lost half of like, I lost my guy, my support, you know? And I got up and I functioned like a boss. I was so proud of myself that I was able to do that. So I was like, you know what? What if I decided to bet on myself and I could make $101,000 on my own? I'm going to try. Because all I know right now is that this isn't it. It's not it. It's like staying in a relationship. Even though you're like, he drives me nuts and the thought of him makes me want to vomit, but I guess I'm going to stay because we have a nice house. I don't know. I would rather like take a risk and find something else. Even if I don't, I know that I'll be happier because that toxic stuff is out of my life, you know?
Right.
And I just chose growth and I chose movement. And I did save up a ton of money because I was right about to buy a condo in Boston. So I had like a sick down payment. And then I was like, nah, we're just going to bootstrap this. So I lived off of my savings and I kind of took a little sabbatical. I took a minute to just say, who am I? Who am I outside of these expectations? I was 35 at the time and I was having kind of like a little mini midlifer, you know, who am I? Like, I don't want to do these things. I've been playing this role that people expect me to, and I don't want to do this anymore. So what do I want? What do I don't want? What do I value? Like, I was just starting to have like a better conversation with myself. And I think the more that I answered those questions, I started building a foundation within myself that made me kind of unshakable, you know? So the money, I knew that I had a little bit of a nest egg, but I also had kind of a plan, a very loose plan, and it has changed substantially since 2016. But I had like some steps in place and I had something to kind of pivot with. So it wasn't like rip the Band-Aid off and I'm like naked and afraid. I was like partially naked and afraid.
I love that analogy there. What part of mindset, obviously we know mindset is huge. Mm-hmm. The mindset really, in my opinion, is like the foundation and the basis for anything.
Absolutely.
What are some practices that you have in place for yourself, but also that you share with your clients or when you're doing your different wellness classes?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Mindset is, because that's energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our words are energy. Our physical body is the manifestation of that energy. So, and I know it sounds hokey, but like it's science, guys. That's really what it is. So when we are in a place, because we know we've all had those days where you're like, nothing goes right. And you're like, I hate today. Nothing ever works out for me. I suck. This always happens to me. And then it's like another smack in the face over and over and over again. It's almost like that energy is begetting more of the same energy. So when you're in that space of like,
I said, you're feeding it.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're in that negative space, like you like victimize yourself, you take away, you disempower yourself. I can't, it's not, it isn't. And those are in the way, I mean, words have vibration. So the way we speak out loud and the way we speak to ourselves matter. And this is part of what we do in the class about like reprogramming some like neuro-linguistic programming about I can't, I'm not, it doesn't, it's never. Stop, take a step back. Because when we start saying that, we immediately shut down any opportunity for solution and we stay on that loop in the same place. I can't. Where do you go from there? Where do you go from there? If you're saying, I can't do this, and you throw your hands up and you walk away, well, then there it is. There's your answer. And then I guarantee you'll find yourself in that same exact position or maybe some iteration of that time and time again. I can't. Keep walking, you hit the same roadblock. I can't. Back it up. I mean, how many times are we going to keep hitting the wall? So the thing that you can do in this, and I got to check myself too. I'm no pro. I just practice this. So I don't stay in this space for as long as I used to. Cause I was a queen of, I can't, a queen of I'll never, a queen of why me, you know? And I still get those days, maybe a few, but I don't stay there on the loop for like months or years anymore. So rather than say like, I can't, what can I do right now? This puts me back in the driver's seat of my life to be able to find a solution that I am in. Cause I'm in control. No, the world doesn't dictate how I show up. I'm better than that. I'm stronger than that. And anybody listening, you're better and you're stronger than that. The circumstances around you, I will never dismiss someone's pain or someone's hardship. All of those things are very real and very true, and they don't have to end there. Like that doesn't have to be the final chapter in our story. If anything, this is like the turning point. This is the climax. This is where you start to like crescendo into your life if you choose to. So saying things like, I can't versus what can I do? I don't know how, shuts it down. I'm challenged by this, opens up possibility and opportunity for solution. So I think with the mindset stuff, it's about reframing so that there's opportunity for movement and growth rather than just shutting it down. And I think the other part of that is really truly believing that whatever it is that you want is yours, not I will. Because I think when we start using those words like I will or I'm going to, it's like an impending situation that we're stressing out about that we may or may not do. I gotta fill out some taxes stuff right here. I'm going to do that, right? I haven't done it yet. So it's like sitting here stressing me out versus like when we take control of I am, I have, what is, we're making it true and we're creating that energy for the world to meet us with whatever it is that we're seeking. I know how to do this. I know how to do these things. I am capable of filling out these tax forms. I have enough money to be able to do these things. So I think the way that we allow what we're afraid of to be reframed into what we are capable of, we just start to take back agency. And when we believe that it's ours, the world's like, okay, you're ready for it. Because you start showing up as the person who already has the thing, whether you have it or not. So it's only like a natural progression for it to start showing up in your life. Case in point, let me just show you a little something here. I don't know if you can see that, but that's a little Photoshop of me and Oprah and Brene Brown, because I look at that every day because we're friends. I truly believe that this is part of my life. I don't know when it's going to happen. But it is. It's already happening. It's already on its way to me. So yeah, those are my little tips. Write those stuff down.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, we often, Jan and I often talk about that, you know, the world is of abundance. It truly is. It's about what you put out to the universe. Totally agree with our mindset and our thoughts, our electric currents. A lot of people don't believe that, but it is a mm-hmm. fact. And I always, you know, we always tell people, look at little examples and we'll give it to you. Like, you know, you woke up, you stubbed your toe, and then you stubbed your toe and you spilled your coffee all over your outfit, and then you're in traffic and you're down, I'm going to be late again. And it just, it perpetuates, and it's a domino effect, and you cannot focus until you say, turn it around. I always say that you're in traffic, pray to God that no one's been injured, that it's an accident, and that you wish everyone here is safe and will get on their journey soon. And all of a sudden you're going to see, you know, the car start to move again. There are many things out there that vision boards, which obviously you've shared a vision board. Those are important because they do remind us and keep us on track of what we want.
Yeah.
And I think part of the issue, especially with women, to verbalize what we want.
Yes.
As if we have it, how dare we?
Yes. Yeah.
How dare we? We're not supposed to.
We're not supposed to have needs. We're not supposed to have needs
or wants or goals. You're not supposed to have those things. Mm-hmm. And if you declare them, which everyone should on a daily basis, write them down, say them out loud, have the conversation in the mirror, you will start to see things start to change. And a lot of people are really getting a little bit more in tune with that piece. And I'm happy that not only men as well, but women are really not taking that backseat anymore and saying, and I frequently get that question, you know, you're at this particular age and yet you're still doing more. You're still getting involved with more. You know, we're on this journey, I truly believe, to impact and add value wherever we can and whoever we touch. Yeah. So just because you've reached a pivotal age does not mean for me, I'm going to be sitting home and knitting booties, because that's so not happening. I'm very active and very blessed. But I also love to keep my mindset going. And it's work.
Yeah.
Even when you don't have children at home anymore, or, you know, sometimes we have another infant child. It happens to be the person that you're sharing a lot of time with. And I have to occasionally say, no, I'm busy. I have a podcast. And he's getting the habit of like, hey, I emptied out the dishwasher. Woohoo.
Congratulations.
So, exactly. I must have a trunk full of medals from my past life. I don't know. But I think women need to embrace their wants and their needs. And I think to kind of break that barrier, it sounds like you are impacting people to break that barrier and say, it's okay. We've got to, you know, deal with the junk that we can't control. And at the end of the day, we're never in control.
Yeah.
But for only two things, we're in control of how we react and how we act. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I love that you're saying that. Like all we have is ourselves. That's it. That's all we can control. And I appreciate you saying and recognizing like the work that I'm doing and that we're doing in this community, because it is a space to land, to just say, okay, I need to be here to start practicing. What do I feel? I mean, how many times have we, can we really answer that? So many people and women, especially, I don't know how I feel, because we've self-abandoned so many times that it's hard for us to trust ourselves. So when we actually, and then we go on and we're in this like rat race of doing go. And we're like, why are we so tired? Because that's not like humanly possible to be doing all of that all the time. So allowing a space to just like literally just exhale, just breathe. What's coming up for you? What do you now need to acknowledge in your body? Because sometimes it's a scream, baby. Sometimes it's a scream. Sometimes it's a little whisper, but most of the times it's a scream, because we've been putting it off for so long. So when you come to class and you're joining this community, it's acceptable. I implore you to check in, put your hand to your heart, hand to your belly, close your eyes and take a breath. What do I need? Hell yeah. Honor it. You have permission to state that. What am I done with? I'm angry at this. Say it. You have to name it to start taming it, because right now, the more you stuff it down, that starts controlling you. And then you don't have that power. That's where I'm too stressed. Starts coming up versus I'm angry. You've just made so much space in your body for solutions. And that's really what the rage part of the Zen Rage Heal process is. Shake it out, get it out. It can't stay in you. Whether you're just doing this and you look like a crazy person, you have to like generate momentum and movement in your body. And when we're in a hardcore workout where we're sweating, where we're breathing, where we're being challenged, when the body's challenged, the mind is challenged, just like we're challenged with these narratives in our lives. But if you can push through and you can start noticing what's happening in your body when things get hard, and you can do one more rep, you can go 5 more seconds. Well, let me tell you what, you can go and have that hard conversation in your life. You can go and end the thing that's adding stress and toxicity to your life. You can set the boundary and just say, no, ma'am. You build these resiliency skills by just becoming embodied into this beautiful beingness that you have of what do I feel? What do I need? What's showing up? How do I know that this is not right? Your body will tell you when it's not right. We just have to slow down to listen, and we have to get to know it. We got to build a better relationship with it.
Absolutely. Funny thing, yesterday I was at a cell phone company because my cell phone wasn't working correctly. And a gentleman in front of me, he was taking, his particular situation was a very lengthy process. So I overhear him talking to another couple who's getting frustrated. They're waiting. And I'm just sitting back and I'm making phone calls for some clients that I had to talk to. And he described a man as being in this box, and they are contained in this box, and they know where every tool is in the chest. And then he said, for women, they've got all these big spaghetti things going on in their brain, these electrical currents. And he was going on and on and on. So he kind of looked at me, he said, do you have that issue? I said, oh yeah, but I'm very in tune with every single spaghetti, with every single wire. And that is why you're in a box and I'm not.
Yeah. I love that.
He kind of looked at me like, yeah.
Yeah. Carol's mic drop, just mic drop, like right there. See you later.
I'm like, the poor woman, she looked like, he crushed her. Like she, could not.
Yeah, that's diminutive, like, for sure.
Yeah, right. And so I thought, you're crushing this poor woman. She's trying to like do whatever. And you're in a little box. Well, good for you, buddy. But there's a reason why women can manage more than one thing at a time.
That's biological. That is biological. Like men have like a very linear focus to be able to like go out and hunt, right? Like that was their like single focus. This is right. This is biological, y'all. So women's focus has to be like head on a swivel to be able to see danger, to take care of the young, to like take care of themselves. Like what's dangerous, who's a predator, who's not. So our brain is sort of wired for like multidimensional focus. Right. So when we are forced to constantly be doing like one thing, do this, and we don't get to like rest, this is where we start. This is the science behind it. Our cortisol spikes because we're in constant fight or flight. What's happening? Oh my God, what's happening here? So your cortisol spikes because your brain doesn't know the difference between like a lengthy Starbucks line and a lion, right? So adrenaline kicks in, cortisol kicks in, and now your heart rate speeds up because your body is telling you, it's hardwired. Get out of there, move. You got to go fast. You got to get out.
Right.
And then you're on to the next thing that your body doesn't know the difference between lion and whatever it is. And it's like cortisol, adrenaline, go get out of there. Stress. How do you get out of that fight or flight? Well, you have to come into your parasympathetic state. You have to breathe. You have to rest. You have to calm down. You have to lower your cortisol levels. And like, if you're in 10 hours of that, I mean, we're going to need a little bit of time,
Right.
Days, but we go right back into it again, and we do it again. And we're wondering, why am I anxious? Why am I gaining weight? Well, when your cortisol spikes like this, it really messes up your gut health. Your hydrochloric acid like can't digest food. So you start to get bloated. You're causing, I'm going in right now, but these are all true things. Like when you're in that constant fight or flight, your body is not wired to be there all the time.
Correct.
So we can't sleep. We're gaining weight. We don't know why. We have headaches. We have blurred vision. We're popping off and angry at like the smallest little thing, So if we don't get that under control, like that is going to have really impactful and negative effects on our body and our lifestyles, like in the long term. If you're not already feeling it, like the body will keep the score and the body is angry. And it will retaliate.
Absolutely. I mean, gut health is essential in all areas because it runs all our functions, every single mm-hmm. system we have in our body. So yep. We're firm believers in that. And how would someone get a hold of you? Like, obviously, you're on social media. Have you written a book? That was one of the questions I was going
to
ask.
Ooh, that's kind of, I love that you're saying that. Cause you know, you have to listen to the times that people tell you something like, oh, you should write a book. You should write a book. So this is like, I'm hearing this a lot now. Not quite yet. It's in the back of my mind. I think I've had a pretty interesting life in a very short amount of time. So no, I haven't done that. I just started a podcast. Excellent. Where, it's for trailblazing millennials. Just kind of, what are we doing to bust out of the box? Because all this should stuff, not my world, y'all. Come on through. Like, you have permission to hear, like, and we just hear stories. We can see ourselves through the storytelling of others. My story, the guests that I'm bringing on. And I'm really focusing on people who are child free, because that is my life. In my 40s, I don't have children, and we've closed the shop. So like, you know, and I love motherhood. I love my niece. Like, I think it's great, but there's also a subset of the population who feels very othered by that. Right. And I'm happy to show some representation that your life has value and meaning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, for sure. So yeah, so podcast, the Go Be Epic podcast, and you can find me on social media at Sweat Remix and sweatremix.com. That's what I was saying, like the website.
The website. Awesome sauce. I love it.
And of course, we will make sure all that information is in the show notes. This has been such an amazing conversation.
Thank you.
By the way, what is the name of your podcast?
The Go Be Epic podcast.
Go Be Epic.
Yep. Go Be Epic, y'all. Like, what are we waiting for? If this is the last day that you have on earth, what if it is? What if it is? So go be epic. So just go be epic.
Yep.
I absolutely love that. We can't thank you enough. We so have enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And as I've said many times, we've only just scratched the surface. I just want to segue over very quickly to welcome all the amazing listeners currently on the Wisdom Audio app. I see a lot of familiar names. So thank you so much for being here. Wow, Carol. So this has been an amazing podcast.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do a part two because we
are really two. Yeah.
To do a part two because there is so much into it that I think, especially over the last 3 years, we not only with women, with men as well, but more so with women, is they have reinvented themselves. They were forced to, obviously, because of the current situation in our country and around the world. But you are finding that more and more people are really taking charge of their health, wellness, mindset, gut health, all that wraps into one, and realize that they don't want to go to the graveyard and leave bones behind. They want to make sure that all their goals are at least, envisioned and put out in the universe for them to achieve them, as well as taking care of oneself, their health and wellness, because it's about, it's not about so much longevity in my perspective. It's about being as well as long as you can. Yeah. We're blessed that we've got, lineage on either side that have led a very long, healthy life. So that is always the possibility, but it's not going to happen unless we put ourselves first. Yes. Because we are all deserving of being the best version of ourselves at all times.
That's it. That's it. That's the podcast right there.
That is so true. And on that note, we hope you have an amazing Wellness Wednesday. Carol, so just fill us in very briefly. You do such a great job on Wellness Wednesday.
Yes, for our listeners and viewers, Wellness Wednesday, a lot of people call it hump day, but in our mindset, we are really pushing the emphasis of kindness, gratitude, blessings. And how you can do that is it is actually a financial exchange. We always talk about what an entrepreneur mindset is. They already, as we've talked about today, they put it out in the universe. We already claimed it. We own it. What if you had more money? Money gets talked about in such a negative limelight. But look at the positive things that you could do with more money, maybe helping your community, a church, a family in need. So what the actual physical being of putting it out there is an act of kindness with an unsuspecting person. So it cannot be your neighbor who needs, an extra 10 bucks because, she didn't go to the bank. Cannot be a family member, a friend, and it cannot even be a charity that you already give or a charity that you don't give to. It's a stranger. Again, it's not about the financial amount. It could be a dollar. It could be $5. It could be $10, whatever you want it to be. but you're going to put it out there to an unsuspecting person. Because when you do that, you envision that you already have that wealth and you're passing that blessing and gratitude on to someone else. And guess what? That may just be a little bit that they need to maybe fill up that tank, get that cup of coffee, whatever it may be. You know, maybe, you know, treat themselves to something sweet and nice. You just don't know. So a little example, we have a lot of pet lovers out there. We know that. So if I'm in the, you know, a store, I might see a case of canned goods for cats or whatever. I'll sneak a little bill in there, or I may go down the aisle where baby food is, some diapers, slip a little bill in there. I may go into, you know, the produce, whatever it may be. My favorite, though, is actually taking a bill, making it the shape of a credit card, and actually put it into where that someone would insert the credit card at a gas station. I've kind of stayed behind. You'd be surprised how excited someone gets to find a little bill in there that may change the dynamics of their day. So it's about putting out that positive train of kindness, putting out in the universe that you're going after that goal, and knowing that, understanding that money is not a bad thing. It's a good thing because you can impact more people. And that's it in a nutshell. Every wellness mindset.
You always explain that so amazingly. Thank you so much. And on that note, my name is Janice, aka Wellness Diva 6.0. And thank you again, Angela. And
thank you, everybody.
This does, and this is Carol Sue, aka Naughty Boss, about to get my movement on right now, finish up a couple pickleball games, and then I'm going to focus on Wellness Wednesday. We hope you have an amazing day, and we will see you tomorrow for Trending Thursday. Hopefully you will be the trendsetter. Take care, everyone. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Go be epic.